When you think of that story of Fred there in Vietnam, it's really a remarkable story. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that we have the Gideons come on Pentecost Sunday every year, because we're dealing with something phenomenal here. When we look at the Pentecost story, it's just amazing. Here are these disciples who, you know, 10 days earlier, Jesus told them, you know, go to Jerusalem, wait there for the gift of the Spirit. When He comes, you're going to have power. And so they do exactly what He says. And while they're waiting, they do elect a person to take the place of Judas so that they're back up to 12. They replace Judas with Matthias. And then on this Sunday morning, on Pentecost, there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now, they're in a building, and there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind in the building. That right there tells you something out of the ordinary is going on. And then there appears to be little flames of fire sitting on top of their heads. Now, that's also something that, you know, would cause maybe a little bit of concern or a double take. But then these fishermen, not real educated, they begin speaking. They begin to proclaim the Word of God. And they begin to proclaim it in every language known to mankind. Everybody who's there, poor Mary, and she had the opportunity of reading Scripture on this Sunday, where you've got all these people from all these different places, you know, all the different ites and Pamphylia and Mesopotamia and all of that. They all hear these disciples speaking, and they look and they go, what is this that's happening? They're speaking and we can all understand them. And then in a brilliant move, they come up with an answer. They're drunk. I don't know about you. I haven't had much experience with that. I've seen it on TV a lot. But from what I understand, if you've had too much to drink, actually the problem is the reverse. You can't speak too well, much less speak in different languages clearly. So Peter gets up and he says, men of Israel, these men are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. For Pete's sake. They're only fishermen. How could they do this? It's the Spirit who Jesus promised. And then he goes into a powerful sermon. A sermon where he quotes Scripture twice, both from the Psalms and also from Joel. And basically the sermon goes like this. Mankind sinned. Mankind needed a Savior. God sent a Savior. His name was Jesus. There was no doubt He was a Savior because He did miracles. And He preached with great authority. But you killed Him anyways. But God wouldn't stand still for that. So God raised Him from the dead, and He ascended into heaven, and now He has poured out His Holy Spirit on us. And the result? The people who were there, they're struck. Oh my gosh. You know what Peter's saying is true. We did kill Him. And He had done all those miracles. And He did rise from the dead. Now He's not here anymore. He must have ascended into heaven. Men of Israel, what must we do to be saved? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A remarkable story. 3,000 people are baptized that day. It's also a remarkable fulfillment of prophecy. When you look in your bulletin, you'll notice there's not the normal sermon outline. I just got Scriptures there. And I start with Acts 1, verses 4 and 8, where Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak. Receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And Peter is saying, this is exactly what's happened. In fact, Peter at the end of his sermon says, Jesus was exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Power promised, power received. This is what the Holy Spirit does. But He does more than that. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, we see no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit gives us power to be Christians, but the Holy Spirit is the one who works faith in our hearts in the first place. No one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is working in their heart. But you know, it's even more than that. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, John 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father, He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. And I love that term, Counselor. This isn't like some little camp counselor. The word here is the same as lawyer or advocate. It's that idea of going to trial and you've got someone standing beside you who's guiding you and directing you and telling you how to do things. This may be a lousy example, but Ollie North. You remember him? When he was there before the Senate Judiciary Committee and they're grilling him and asking him questions, and he never just looked at them and gave an answer. Right next to him was his attorney. Every single time he turned to his attorney. Yes. That's the image of the Holy Spirit. He's our Counselor. He's right there by our side. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He's keeping us on the straight and narrow. Now, why? Well, Romans 8, verse 26 tells us a couple things that this Holy Spirit, that He's going to do for us and why He needs to be with us. Romans 8, 26 tells us the first one. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What weakness? We do not know what we ought to pray for. Have you ever found that? You just don't quite know how to pray, how to get the words right. You know that you should be praying, but you forget something. Paul says, we don't know how we ought to pray or what we are to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So He gives us power. He works faith in our hearts. And when we in our humanity don't know what to pray for, He steps in and He prays for us. I'm liking this. But it continues on. Luke 12, verses 11 to 12, Jesus says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Oh, there's that Counselor. If we are taken to task because of our faith and someone's challenging our faith, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you at that time what to say. Now you might say, how is He going to teach you? Well, you know what? He's going to teach you what you hopefully already know. John 14, verse 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You see, this isn't just some little miracle thing where you say, I'm a Christian, and you get hauled before the judge, and the judge says, why are you a Christian? I don't know. Hold on a minute. Let me talk to the Holy Spirit.
You believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus. That's not how it works. Jesus tells us He will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is why we have the Gideons come on this Sunday. How do we know what Jesus says to us? It's given to us. But if we don't crack this open and if we don't read it, how will He remind us what we've been told? Kind of hard, isn't it? I had a student years ago when I was teaching. And this student was struggling in science class. And I asked him, I said, "Do you pray before the test?"
"No."
"You might want to start trying."
"Okay."
Well, the next time, he got like the worst grade ever. And he came to me, "Mr. Doerr, I did exactly what you said. And I got a horrible grade." I said, "What did you do?" "I prayed before the test." "What else did you do?" "Well, I did what you said. I prayed." "Did you read your book?" "No." I said, "I was kind of concerned because I noticed that you really haven't done any of your homework either. Well, you've turned in the papers, but nothing's right." You know what? God's not going to give you the science answers unless you first put the answers in your brain. But if you've done that, He'll help clarify it and give you peace on the test, and you'll probably do better. But if you're not going to read the book, He ain't going to help. You're not going to read the book. He ain't going to help. You can see I did very well in English. I love math and science. The Holy Spirit will bring to our mind, help us to remember that which we have heard, that which we have read. He will pray for us. He will give us power. He will be our counselor and stand beside us. But there's more. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. All these, and now we're talking about gifts of the Spirit. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The Holy Spirit promises to give us gifts, spiritual gifts. If you look in 1 Corinthians 12 and the verses preceding, the gifts that are mentioned are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, distinguishing, the ability to distinguish between a false spirit and a true spirit. We've heard about that in the Truth Project. The gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. Now understand, when we hear that prophecy, the word prophecy or prophesy means to proclaim. It's to proclaim God's Word. It may be that you are going to proclaim and say, "God says that at such and such a time this is going to happen." That happened with a number of Old Testament prophets. That's happened with Jesus concerning Pentecost. He said, "This is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come." But what Peter did on that Pentecost Sunday, that was prophesying, powerful prophesying. He was proclaiming God's Word. These are all gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit gives them. Why does He give them? 1 Corinthians 12:7. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." All these gifts are given for the common good. They're for the good of everybody. We don't, keep it to ourselves. I have the gift of, being able to tell the difference between, something that's wrong and something that's right. But I'm not going to share it with anybody. That's my knowledge. I own it. No. It's there for the common good. Which one of those gifts is the best? Did you know that Paul tells us? You go through 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about all these gifts. Then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13 and he talks about a thing that's greater than any of the gifts. Love. Faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And then chapter 14, he comes back to the spiritual gifts. Notice how he begins 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love. You got to love Paul. He is consistent. He says love is the greatest, and he says follow the way of love. That's number one. And here comes number two. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Eagerly desire the ability to speak God's Word. That's exactly what Peter did. That disciple with the foot-shaped mouth. He went from always sticking his foot in his mouth to being the most dynamic preacher of all times. 3,000 baptisms. Man, that's good.
That's what Peter was doing. The Holy Spirit brought to his remembrance those words of Joel, those words of David, the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit gave him power. The Holy Spirit worked faith in his heart. The Holy Spirit gave him the gift of prophecy, and Peter let it rip. The Holy Spirit works on the hearts of the Gideons who realize that unless people have God's Word, they're not going to hear it. And so they take these Bibles and they get them into people's hands. The Holy Spirit. He's the one who's here right now. He's the one who's working on our heart. He's the one who's saying, get those Bibles and get them out into people's hands. He's the one who's saying, open your Bible, make it a part of your life so I can work with it. He's the one who's saying, I'm calling you. I've given you gifts. Let's put them to work. The Holy Spirit, I said it at the beginning, we should celebrate this day just like we celebrate Christmas. Christmas, we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Today, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. He who stands beside us, He who gives us power, gives us faith, gives us gifts, prays for us. The Counselor who was always there. May He dwell richly in our lives. May we listen to His call, and may we move forward through His power and His grace. Amen. We continue now with the gathering of our tithes and our offerings, one of our ways of showing our love and our thanks to God, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts.